and welcome to season 2, episode 3 of All Talk No Bock. I'm Heather.
I'm Charles.
And I'm Reese.
And today we are a little bit bipolar in our subject matter because we're going to start off on two current events that are pretty serious, but also pretty groundbreaking, and some might say too little, too late, or this should have happened a long time ago in baseball, and that would be the Negro Leagues being recognized as major league, among the major league baseball players in stats, et cetera. And then also the Cleveland Indians changing their name, or eventually changing their name. We don't know when that's going to happen. And then we're going to switch gears. And since Christmas is next week, we have a holiday themed Your Take, Our Take that we are so thrilled about and we worked really hard on. So I won't get too much into what that is. So we'll just start out quickly going through these current events because they are important, and I think we do have strong opinions on both issues. So first of all, as everybody knows by this point, the Negro Leagues are being recognized as official like Major League Baseball. And really what that means in practice is that the statistics of these Negro League players are going to be among the list of, you know, Major League Baseball players. And some of them are so good, I think of Satchel Paige, Jackie Robinson played a season, that it'll change up who's sort of the best of all time in certain categories. It'll change up, you know, World Series recognitions, different title recognitions, etc. So it's mostly a statistical thing. And a lot of the, I think I read online that there's only 130 Negro League players that are still alive, but only 4 alive that played from 1920 to 1948, which is sort of the prime of segregation pre-Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier when he did. So only 4 players that played in that time. So, wow, I think Major League, I mean, they're doing the right thing, but not very many people are alive to see it. So what does it really mean, I guess? That's where we're going to start. Do you guys have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's great that these players are being recognized, and I wasn't sure if they were trying to wait until all of them had passed just so one wasn't, you know, any more significant than the other to let them all kind of be commemorated as they passed. I can see that angle, but I think for the players that played, and even if there are just like you said, 4 left that were playing during that common era, I think it'd be great for them to be able to see it, even if it's just a small percentage of them, because at least they get to pass knowing that they were recognized and that, you know, they are treated as MLB ball players, which they should be, and that, you know, they get to be a part of something. Like, I don't know if you've ever watched A League of Their Own, but they got, you know, inducted into Major League Baseball as well because, you know, they had been so crucial during wartime to keep money flowing through leagues. So it was great to see that, you know, that they're going to recognize them, but I do agree it was a little late, but just go ahead and do it and let these ball players get to see what they've accomplished.
You should know that I've seen A League of Their Own because that was my favorite baseball movie during week whatever. I don't have that option.
So. There's no crying in baseball. Great movie. Great movie.
You should know that, Charles. I'm offended that you forgot. Reese, what do you think?
No, I agree with both of you guys. I mean, I think that, yes, it's absolutely about time, and I think this should have happened a long time ago, but I'm glad that it is happening now. You know, this year has been very big on social justice and fighting against, you know, systematic racism and a lot of other things going on, which will also lead into our next point. But I mean, in terms of this, I think that it's excellent that it's happening right now. I think that current Black players in the league will find a lot of inspiration from this. I think that it's about time that the Negro Leagues were recognized. I think it's amazing that they're being recognized. And I think that it's definitely a step in the right direction. So I'm very happy that this is coming about. I mean, once again, should have happened a long time ago, but it is progress nonetheless. So, I mean, you guys said it.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it's good points. I mean, I was doing some research online about it because if I'm being completely honest with our fans, I don't know as much about the Negro Leagues as I probably should, especially as compared to the Major League Baseball at that time. So it's pretty shameful of me, to be honest, and it's something that I hope to learn more about. But I was doing a little research just in preparation of this podcast, and there were just such interesting articles on, is it the job of, or white players, I think how black players feel, and I don't want to speak for black people at all, but I think the feeling is that the Negro Leagues was always legitimate. It was always, you know, the talent was equivalent to that of the white players in the major league side.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's just, the whole Rob Manfred, can he legitimize something that's already legitimate? It's an interesting, like, thinking point, because it, you know, you think about it, you're like, yeah, I mean, it's not that, you know, a white player doesn't have the power to determine, or a white, you know, man in power doesn't have the, you know, he can't determine if something is worthy of something. I mean, that alone is problematic. And it just, the power structure in this country has not changed much, it, I think, is what that shows. But also on a numbers basis, in terms of, I read another very fascinating article about, should the four that played pre-color barrier being broken, should they be paid reparations? And even the families of those that have passed, because if you look at it, MLB players at that time from 1920 to 1948 were paid about 5 times more than black players at any given, no matter what the team or player status. And then if you were in the World Series, whether you won or lost, in the major leagues, you were paid 19 times more than the Negro League World Series players.
Wow.
And that's simply because of everything that we know about this country. So I don't need to go through the why of why that happened. This country is mired in racism, and that's why the Negro Leagues existed in the first place. So I don't know. There's just really interesting things that I think MLB will need to work out in order to make this, quote, transition right, and to make it feel authentic and not like a power play or like a marketing scheme or something skeezy like that. It needs to be done well and in the fullest. I don't know. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, Heather, I agree.
You brought
up a good point about, you know, you felt almost bad that, or you did feel bad that you didn't know more about the Negro Leagues. And that's the point that hopefully, you know, them being recognized will wake a lot of people up to that same matter.
Yeah.
People will want to go check it out. As far as the reparations go, I don't know if you can go down that road, just for the matter of fact that, you know, women are paid less in sports. There's been other races that were paid less in sports, and you would be going down so many different avenues that it would break the world of sports if all of these people all of a sudden were demanding reparations for all these years that, you know, white players were paid more, men were paid more. So that's something that's a little too complex, but I'm definitely glad that these players are being recognized.
Reese, any last thoughts?
I mean, I would agree with you guys. I think that it's definitely, once again, a step in the right direction. I mean, the reparations piece, like, that is difficult because, Charles, you do have a good point. Like, there are a lot of complexities with that and intricacies. I mean, obviously, like, at the end of the day, like, there should be no discrimination of any type in any avenue of sports, business, social class, whatever, you know? But that's the reality of our life. And it's a difficult thing to find a solution to, and progress is progress. So I am so happy that the Negro Leagues are finally getting the recognition that they deserve. Heather, you made a great point. How are we legitimizing something that's already been legitimate? These players, you know, they were extremely talented at the end of the day. And so the fact that they're just now getting the recognition for that officially, does that make me sad? Yeah, because they should have been recognized a long time ago. But, you know, it's happening now. And I think that we should all take this as a learning opportunity, do our research, learn more about the Negro Leagues, recognize all these players, honor their memory by learning more about them and the league as a whole. And I think that that in itself is a great step in the right direction.
So just I just want to add really quickly.
To educate yourself. Oh, sorry.
Yes, definitely educate. Everybody should educate themselves on the history of the country and racism in general, for sure, if you haven't done that this year. But I was just going to add really fast, and then we'll move on, that reparations is not a new concept, like it's in terms of the mistreatment and just how Black people have felt. Again, I don't want to like speak, I feel odd like saying this, but reparations, the idea of former slave or slave owners' families being paid for the work that they did, that whole thing isn't new. So there's a deep history of like the financial implications of this transitioning society. So again, I don't have the, I think it's just a, what?
I think that's a little bit different. We're talking about, you know, something that's illegal versus something.
Well, it's all, I mean.
Yeah, I mean.
Right. It's all part and parcel.
With the Negro Leagues and, you know, with women's sports, it's not just about that, but it's also about the money they bring in versus something that was forced labor without pay. So that's a little bit of a different scenario, in my opinion.
Right, but I guess in the Negro Leagues in particular, you know, the segregation laws are illegal, you know, so things, it's just an interesting, like, concept of how would it be executed. To be honest with you guys, I'm sure it could be. Like you said, it's intricate, it's complicated, but in terms of, women, the gender gap still exists. Yeah, I mean, that's all correct. You know, minorities, gender, the pay gap still exists. Yeah. I'm just questioning what was legal about the Negro Leagues and what was just flat out illegal now, similar to how slavery is now illegal. So, but it wasn't back then. So anyway, just interesting talking points, but we won't get too much into that because we're all white. And just to remind everybody, they all know. So moving into yet another sort of dicey, weirdly awful, but it exists. Concept. The Cleveland Indians announced last week or this past week that they're changing their name. We don't know when, it's just going to happen. And I just want to, before I hear your guys' thoughts, I just want to throw a couple facts out there to show how disgusting it is that they've just been able to get away with it for as long as they have. So first of all, the Cleveland Indians have been called the Indians since 1915, which is 105 years. Name any team, basically, they haven't been called that for, like the Dodgers were not called the Dodgers that long. The Giants were not called the Giants that long, you know? So it's like how that name of all the names was able to stand the test of time for that long is pretty gross. I just wanna, for our audience, if you don't know, the Cleveland Indians ironically play at Progressive Field, which I get is like insurance, but I just think that's like the funniest, again, of all the things to be, progressive, anything but. And then the last thing I wanted to mention before we talk about it, both the Braves and the Indians had Chiefs for mascots. So for the Braves, Chief Nakahoma, and for the Indians, Chief Wahoo. Wahoo is a city in Nebraska. I don't know why that matters. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know why the names, I did not look that much into it, but the point is that they had Chiefs for mascots. I mean, so anyway, the Indians are changing their name. Do you guys have thoughts? I'm furious that this even like is a thing. But go.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that's like, it's not like specific to just the Indians. Like there are a lot of other sports because this has been going on for a really long time. and it's involved a lot of different sports teams. And I mean, this whole thing was really back when the Washington football team, you know, formerly Washington Redskins, decided to finally change their name. I mean, obviously right now the Washington football team is temporary until they find a new moniker, but in the meantime, that really put pressure on a lot of other teams to kind of look within their organization and realize, okay, maybe this isn't okay. And obviously the Indians are one of those teams. I know right now they're working with local Native American leaders to kind of see, you know, different avenues that they can pursue in terms of names. I think it's about time. Heather, like you said, 105 years is a really long time to get away with something like this. A lot of other organizations have gone through name changes that aren't nearly as derogatory. And so the fact that something like the Indians is just now being looked into as being racist and offensive is crazy to me. I go to San Diego State University and we're the Aztecs. And I know our school for a really long time has been looking into potentially changing our mascot as well. And so, I mean, it's something that a lot of other sports teams, organizations, institutions are looking into. Again, kind of like I mentioned earlier, I think it's about time. I know some of the names that they were looking, I don't know if you guys were like looking into their like potential names. I know that Cleveland was looking at the Spiders, the Naps, the Fellers, the Rockers.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think that it's insane that they've gone this long without even questioning the appropriateness of their name. But I think in a year like 2020, what better time once again in the fight for social justice to be progressive as their field name implies.
Yes, well said, Reese. I totally agree with what you said. And, you know, I just can't believe names like Chiefs for football, Redskin was still in there, Braves, Indians. I mean, it's unbelievable how long that these have lasted. And just especially with Redskin and some of these ones that are really derogatory, like,
yeah, the Redskins, I can't believe that was even like allowed
way too long. Like, I get that we're starting to come around to Indians, like this one maybe if like a decade late, but like with the Redskins, that shouldn't have even started. So
yeah, that shouldn't,
something like that is unacceptable. And you know, I think that if you want to save yourself in coming back from this, I think that what Washington did was a little bit lazy in my eyes. I think that you need to kind of rebrand the team. You can't just call them football team. I know that it's been, you know, a tough year and tough to switch it up like that, but you got to give them something to root for. Give them a mascot or an icon or something. And I hope that the Indians are ready and don't just go with baseball team, because that would be so deflating to a franchise that's already having to go through a situation like this. So give them something like, I don't know, the Cleveland Natives, if that, something like that could be good for keeping it more PC. But just give them a name and a logo and something to get behind, so that way it's easier to move past this and, you know, we can get rid of all of these names that should have been gone a long time ago.
I think they're leaning more towards the Spiders, which I personally
really, yeah, don't. I would go completely not human.
I like the Naps. I think that's a good name. That's in reference to one of their former.
How boring is a nap, though? That sounds horrible.
Cleveland Naps? Like sleeping nap? Or like nap as
No. Nap. Okay. Historically, it makes sense because they used to be the Naps. So going back to that would make sense. And I like that name. I think it's cool.
I think they should just be the Cleveland LeBrons and call it a day. LeBron has done more for that city than anybody else.
No.
So,
oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, I would just, you know, I would, I guess my whole opinion on this, leave it up to the tribes. Let's not mess it up.
Also, I've done some research, and while, yes, like, they do want to, they didn't seem like a necessity for a lot of these tribes to change the Indians' name. So,
well, if you're going to change it.
Yes, you're going to change it, leave it up to them. But the fact that they didn't seem to be bothered by this one and they were with Washington just makes me, you know, question it a little bit. But at the same time, I totally agree. I think it needs to be changed. But if they're not, you know, I can't speak to it because I'm not a part of the organization. And like you said, Heather, it's kind of awkward. not being a part of that that community group as well, that's bolted. So, you know, it's up to them, but from what I've heard, they're not angered by it, which is good, but I still think that, you know, it needs to be changed and give them the opportunity to do so. But I just thought it was interesting that it wasn't based off of their opinion.
I mean, again, and like, who knows, I get to just like speak for all Native Americans is dumb,
right?
Or like is not possible. But you know, that aside, like if you're gonna change it to another Native American reference, definitely. If you're gonna change it to the Spiders or the Cleveland LeBrons, which I'm liking the more I say it, or you know, bottom line, that's different.
Baseball team, you can't call them the Cleveland LeBrons as a baseball.
Okay, well, he's brought in more money for that city than like anybody else. So
yeah, but never been a
Cleveland Rock Stars, because that's where the Hall of Fame. I mean, there's names, whatever.
Well, that's why they have the Rockers as one of their potential.
Yeah.
Call LA Kirk Gibson's, like, that doesn't make any sense.
Okay, he did not, what? He did not bring in as much money as, like, the LA Magic would be much better place than the Orlando Magic. But we're not talking about those types. I'm just saying, well, it would actually be funny.
Speaking of basketball, this is interesting to note as well. The okay. WNBA team in Cleveland actually was the Rockers from 1997 to 2003. So shout out WNBA.
Okay, yes, so shout out.
That'd be a nice tribute to the WNBA.
Yeah, it would. It, I mean, we need to recognize them more too, speaking of recognition.
Exactly.
But yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that name is at least on their list of potential new monikers. But yeah.
Yeah. And I made an error earlier. I said that the Giants weren't the Giants. The Giants have been the Giants longer than the Indians have been the Indians. But it still goes to, there are other teams that are more like, you know, that have been. By the way, at the original, there were at one point the White Stockings, the Brown Stockings, and the Red Stockings. I don't know what baseball's deal with socks are, but that's like a whole other conversation. But that's like so odd. Like, who even wears
like the fishnets, the tights, the
yeah,
leggings,
like stockings? The what are they, socks? Are they tights?
The leg
that might be another year take our take. But anyway, I don't even know if there might be more than that. But yeah, I would just say to close up this topic, you know, there's still the Florida State Seminoles. So it's not just pro sports, it's college sports. It's all over the place with the Native American. And there's, you know, obviously the Braves do the tomahawk chop. So you just question if this were, if like, not to get too derogatory with it, but if it were like the Cleveland Crackers, you'd be like, there would be an outrage. And this would have been years and years ago that would have changed. This is long in the making. And also I will add that to even call them Indians is wrong, because Christopher Columbus, when he landed in America, thought he was in India. So that's why he called them Indians, and then he killed a bunch of them. So, and that's like the crude history. So we should be calling them Native Americans or Indigenous peoples. Definitely not Indians. So that alone is, it's not even like the correct geographical. Yeah. I don't, how did this become a thing? But anyway, you could ask that question with a lot of different racial issues in this country, and it might upset some, like it's upsetting, and but it's important to know our history, which is not all rosy, and in fact, mostly not rosy at all. Anyway,
once
that's upset.
Everybody listening, please continue to educate yourself.
Educate.
It's very important.
Yeah, it's please educate, and we ourselves will do more to educate.
Exactly. We will continue to do so. So
we're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. So anyway, that is our current events for the week. It was a bit more upsetting, but we will be back with a very holiday theme. Much happier. Your take, our take. We'll be right back.
All Talk No Bock. This is our very special segment that you're used to listening to every Tuesday. This is Your Take, Our Take. We have a very special segment for you today. It's going to be holiday lineups. We've picked our very own holiday characters that you're used to seeing around the holidays that have been your favorite animated movies and all that good stuff. So we're going to dish it out, and we have been assigned four holiday players each that we're each going to be doing. So I'll kick it off with Reese. Who are your four holiday players and where do you got them out in the field?
Okay, so I'll start by listing my players. So I had Rudolph, Cindy Lou Who, Santa Claus, Father Christmas, and the Abominable Snowman, my personal favorite. And so starting off with Rudolph, we're going to have him out in center field. My mans can fly, so no home runs will be hit with Rudolph in center field, let me tell you. That's a given. And the thing too is like he can cover honestly, if you just gave him the outfield like by himself, he'd be fine because he could, regardless if that's going over the left field wall, right field wall, center wall, he'll get it. So anyways, my point is he's very talented individual. My point is Rudolph is a very versatile player. He can be out there, he can really cover the entire field by himself, extremely talented. It will only help to have reinforcements in left and right field. Unnecessary, but helpful nonetheless.
Ouch.
Well, sorry.
Players are offended.
Well, I mean, they'll still do very good things for our team, but Rudolph really is a one-man show. So I've got him out in center field. Cindy Lou Who is going to be our shortstop. It's in the name. She is incredibly short. She's like 6 years old. In the original, she's 2 years old, but in the remake, she's like anywhere between like 6 to 12 years old. So I guess this is really like up for interpretation, but regardless, she's a child. So she'll be shortstop. My point in saying she's a child is that she has a lot of energy, and to be a shortstop, you have to be very on top of your game at all times. It's one of the most difficult positions. It's one of the most important positions. And I think that there's no one better to fill it than our girl, Cindy Lou Who. Additionally, when I was looking, into the history of the MLB and some of the older players. Historically, shortstops have been short. If we're looking at Stubby Magner, Yo-Yo DeVilio, and Rabbit Moranville, they were all really short. They were all really successful, and they were all shortstops. So I think Cindy Lou Who is perfect for that position. Additionally, you have to have really good game awareness as a shortstop, and she's very inquisitive. If you remember when she first encountered the Grinch, she was asking him a lot of questions. She wants to know what's going on at all times, and so I feel like her game awareness would be really, really sharp, so I think that she'd be perfect there. Next up, we've got the Abominable Snowman. He's going to be our closer. That guy is like probably 14 feet tall. He's massive, and so I think that his height would definitely be an advantage on the mound, in addition to the fact that he is easily throwing like 150 mile per hour fastballs. Like No one is getting a hit off of him. No, that'll break the bat. Like he's fine. So he'll be on the mound. He's our closer. And then we've got Santa Claus. So the reason that I decided to put Santa Claus I should probably tell you where I'm putting him. He's our catcher. The reason that Santa's going to be our catcher is because the catcher is on their haunches for like most of the game, and Santa just sits down a lot, so I feel like he would be really good on his haunches. Additionally, the catcher knows where all the players are positioned. They help control the flow of the game because they communicate with the pitcher, let them know what's going on behind them. They have an awareness of what's happening on the field, and we know Santa Claus sees everything. He sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, all that jazz. So as such, he's got great observance. His observations are on point. You need to have really good observations as a catcher, so Santa is our catcher. Thank you.
Wow. Wow. I have no words. That's beautifully said.
Thank you.
A lot of great references. That brought me back to some childhood memories right there, Reese. I appreciate that.
I appreciate you guys appreciating that. So thank you.
Heather, why don't you go next with your four? Where are you putting some of these all-star holiday classic characters?
So, speaking of Cindy Lou Who, I got the Grinch, which is perfect. I got Jack Skellington, good one. I got Gingy from Shrek, if you guys don't know. Obviously, you do know, because if you haven't seen Shrek, I mean, what are you even doing? And then Mrs. Claus. So I got Grinch I'll actually do Grinch last, because Grinch is sort of my interesting one that I think will be a surprise. So Mrs. Claus, first of all, is my first baseman. You know, she has the build of sort of a G-Man toy. sort of a Max Muncy, a little bit stockier build. She a little bit immobile, which is good for a first baseman, an aging player. You know, Mrs. Claus is very old.
She's a veteran.
Yeah, veteran. That's what they,
there you go.
Veteran. So Mrs. Claus. But also, you know, she's very aware of, you know, obviously first baseman have to be very aware of ball movement at all times. And I just think that Mrs. Claus, she's very aware of what hubby Santa's got going on, you know, what's going on in Santa's workshop and the elves, you know, she keeps it all. She has the cookies ready, you know? So I just think that awareness is really important for a first baseman. And also I think her bat would be really key and sort of an underrated bat. Again, kind of like a Max Muncy for the Dodgers, you know, a little bit underrated as a bat. And I think Mrs. Claus, she has some veteran strength to her. So don't overlook Mrs. Claus. We got Gingy at third. Why? Sort of the build of an Alex Bregman, a short, compact build, very quick, very quick. Quick hands, quick feet. That's what you need to play the hot corner. And remember, in Shrek, Gingy saves the day by becoming quite big because of the flower. If you remember the plot. So Gingy has the ability to be really flexible. That's what you need as third base. You really need that speed and reflexes. It's a really important position. I think Gingy would be one of those bats where maybe not a ton of home runs, but definitely a good on-base percentage and a good war. Why a good war? Because he goes to war and he's a fighter till the end. See what I did there? I know what war means for all the baseball fans. It's not literal war. Wins above replacement. I know what it means. So that's why Gingy's my third baseman. And I just love that infield so much. But we haven't completed our infield yet with second base. We'll let Charles handle that. So Jack Skellington is my ace. Jack Skellington's my starting pitcher. Why? He has the build of a Blake Snell, a Walker Buehler, a Tyler Glasnow, even very long and lean. That's when starting pitchers thrive with that long body type, long arms. Great to get that velocity. Yeah, very tall. Very tall. And, you know, you got to think he has the dog Zero, we remember from Nightmare Before Christmas. They got to play a lot of catch.
So that's a very good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah, he's a really good arm. I'm trusting him with the ball at any point. In the biggest game. And he's also, I will say, the most important person in Halloween Town. And the starting pitcher is the most important person on the staff in a baseball game. You need your starting pitcher to be on point. I guess in this day and age, you could have the opener, but look at what the Dodgers did. They relied on their starting pitchers. Same with the Nationals last year when they won the World Series because their bullpen was garbage. So that's why Jack Skellington's my starting pitcher. And then Grinch. You know, Grinch to me profiles as a Puig type. So I put him in right field. He's very angry, but very passionate. And he's very goal oriented too. Got to ruin Christmas, right? So, you know, that's what being an outfielder is all about. You got to make those hard throws. You got to have a cannon, but you got to be angry because, man, those are some hard catches they have to make in the outfield, right? So you got to be determined and go for it. And definitely he goes for it. But I want to add about the Grinch. I would have him as like a player manager type just because of that passion. I think he'd also make a great manager for this holiday team. You know, because he has that passion. He has that anger. He has that fire. And he's also sort of a Tom Lasorda-esque. You know?
In terms of like.
Yeah, very, very organized.
We know his list, 4 o'clock, wallow in self-pity and all that. So, yeah.
Yep. But in the end, you know, not to spoil it for anybody that hasn't read or seen How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which if you haven't, I don't know what you're like really doing. But at the end, Grinch has a heart that grows,
three sizes.
Thank you. So at the end, he does have a heart of gold. And that's what you need. You need to love your players at the end of the day. You need to love, and he loves Whoville. Yes. That's where I have Grinch. I see him as like a Puig type, passionate, And he'll be a great bat as well because he just really, he hates all the starting pitchers, the opposing starting pitchers. He's like, I'm going to crush this ball. So that's where I got my player.
Story, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, this is a good, this is a really good list. And by the way, I will also add, this is literal fantasy baseball, literal fantasy baseball.
So this takes fantasy to a whole new level. So
fantasy, I mean, it's
called innovation that excites. Yeah. This is the kind of fantasy league that I would be down to join, to be honest with you.
1,000%. Charles, I'm dying to hear your four players.
Yeah, so I have Buddy the Elf, Scrooge, Charlie Brown, and Frosty the Snowman. All four, love them all, seen Charlie all of them. So I feel like I'm well equipped to put him out in the field. Charlie Brown, we know he doesn't have much of an arm. We've seen him throw that football. So he's going to be at second base because he can make the short throws. But if you put him over at third, you don't know where it's going. It's going to go hit someone, maybe one of the Snoopy out in the stands. He could hit, you know, the guy that's always playing the piano. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Linus!
Oh, my God. Linus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The piano could be Charlie's walk-up song as well.
There you go. That's it right there. So we got Charlie Brown going to be playing second, and he's going to kill it over there. Buddy the Elf, we've seen him. He writes with his left hand, but he throws with his right. So he's going to be perfect for out there in left field.
Yeah, remember him with that snowball fight? Hello.
Yep, that's got an arm. Fight. That man has got a cannon. And if you saw, he is accurate. That kid was running away on the run, and he nailed him. He just like snowball, nails him. Buddy the Elf is never going to miss a play at home in his life. This man knows how to cover ground. He went from the North Pole to New York City. How much ground is that? And he's still out here killing it, throwing snowballs with a mile per hour speed of probably like 150, along with the abominable snowman. So you're getting those hard rockets out from left field. He's going to be killing it. Scrooge, my man, he sounds like a pitcher already, the Scrooge ball. He's going to be my relief pitcher. In between, we have Jack Skellington and the abominable snowman. It's going to be a heck of a bullpen.
What a rotation. Are you kidding?
What a rotation we're going to be getting out of these guys. I'm guessing one run max because the abominable snowman throws some heat. Maybe someone gets some contact and hits it over. But Rudolph's going to be there to catch
it. Rudolph's going to catch it, so it's fine. It won't be a lucrative play.
All those guys can catch it.
All these guys are beasts. So there's no competition against our team right now. And then last but not least, I got my man Frosty. Can't really move. He's already got a limited amount of time, so we can't put him out there too much or he'll melt, become someone's drink by the end of the game. So we're going to put him as our DHing Frosty because the man can rip him, but he can't move. So just put him at the plate and he'll hit a home run every time. And then you just got to carry him around the bases. But you know what? It's worth it because the man can rake. And that is our all-star lineup. What a lineup, guys. We got a great...
Well, now we have to place them. Let's place them in order. Where we got everybody hitting.
Yeah, we'll do the hitting lineup right now. Where should we put some of these guys? I feel like we got to combine on this for our batting roster. I feel like Gingy has to lead off. Be our bunt guy.
Interesting.
Small guy. Needs to get on base. He's very small, so small strike. Okay. I think he can get on very easily. Rudolph.
Good one.
Kind of like, the same situation. He's fast. He could push Gingy even more across. I feel like Rudolph has to be our second guy. Okay. Then we could put someone like Cindy Lou Who, Charlie Brown in that three spot. Someone who can rake pretty bad or pretty good. Mm-hmm. Reese is holding up a peace sign.
I'm just keeping track of who we're talking about. Really think Cindy Lou Who can rake? I don't know about her.
No, I don't think. I think Cindy Lou should be lower down. I would put Grinch.
I love her, but I don't think she's third.
Grinch or Buddy the Elf, maybe at third. Okay, let's go with
Grinch. Ooh, let's go Buddy. Let's go Buddy. And then Grinch.
Okay, Grinch is our cleanup guy. And then we put Santa at third. Santa's got
him. That's perfect.
Yes. Okay.
Santa's at five.
Santa's at five. Total. Then we got to start the lineup over again. So we got to get Cindy Lou Who, a small target, up at the sixth spot. Then we go with someone like Charlie Brown, another small, fast guy at the seventh spot. Then at the eighth spot, I'm going with my boy. I feel like I'm missing someone. Who's playing?
You're missing Mrs. Claus.
Mrs. Claus. Thank you. Mrs. Claus. She's
my boy, Mrs. Claus.
My boy, Mrs. Claus, missing that girl. And then at number nine, who do we got at number nine? Who's the last one, Heather? Our DH.
Frosty?
Frosty the Snowman, our DH at the nine spot. There you go.
World Series champs, no Lina. Question.
Whoa, that's no question.
By far. And then you go back after Frosty with Gingy and Rain and Rudolph. Oh, my gosh. There's no way. You can't beat that team. That's game over for anyone. I'm sorry, Heather. Not even the
Barry.
Dodgers all-star lineup and everyone they got, could they take down this hallmark?
Yeah, Dave Roberts is like quaking right now. He's terrified. He finds out he's playing this team, he's done.
Scrooge is Clayton Kershaw's granddad. He's about to take him to town. That's just ouch.
That hurts. Those
lengthy arms. Where do you think Clay gets it from? It's from Scrooge Daddy. That's his guy.
Scrooge Daddy.
Yeah.
Scrooge Daddy. Okay.
It's Granddaddy, it's Scrooge Daddy.
I mean, I think this is hot, guys. I think the Tooth Fairy is screwed. I think,
the Easter Bunny better watch out.
The Easter Bunny, Cupid, are you kidding? God, no competition.
Cupid can barely shoot a zero nowadays. You think he can hit a baseball? Nah.
Right, yeah, no, literally. Nah.
So, okay, well, I think everyone is scared. And what are your take, our take? That was probably the most fun.
That was epic.
That I've had putting together a lineup in all the times that I've put together a lineup.
So, I know I said previously that none of us should be running a baseball team, but after this, like, I might have to change my tune, you guys. That was pretty.
I mean, who was
an all-star lineup right here? Like, we can make it all the way, no question.
I think the Nationals need us right now. We got to bring some life back to the lineup.
Wow, way to hate on the Nationals. What about the Reds, who have a crappy lineup? And the
I was just thinking of the worst record in baseball last year. It was like the Nationals.
Oh, Reds, okay, yeah. So yeah, like the Tigers. Yep. Yeah, I mean totally the Royals. I don't know who had the worst record. I guess Pittsburgh, I would probably say. Yeah. But yeah, totally. I mean, It's it's fantasy league all day, every day here at All Talk No Box. So let us know in the comment section of anything, like our website, or you can email us if we messed up so bad. Did we miss any Christmas characters? We tried not to. Hopefully we got it right for everybody. Let us know, and then we'll be back to wrap it up.
That's it for us here at All Talk No Bock. Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed our holiday special, Your Take, Our Take, and all the current events that have been going on. Very groundbreaking stuff, as Heather said before. Make sure you check us out on all of our social media accounts. We've got Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, TikTok is coming. We got a lot of stuff cooking in the social realm. Make sure you guys go check out our merch. It's via Redbubble. We got a lot of great stuff. Shirts, sweatshirts, skirts, anything you could think of, apparel, got some good stuff for you, so go check it out. And make sure you come check us out. We're going to be taking a little bit of a break. Obviously, Christmas is next weekend, so no podcast for us, but we will be back in 2 weeks, the day after New Year's on January 2nd with our fresh content of 2021. Woo! Can't believe it. Finally out of 2020. It's been such a wild ride for so many of us, and it's good to finally see the light at the end of the tunnel with this new year. Heather, anything that I missed, or are we good to close it out?
Just let everybody know, if you thought Brandon was going to be on this week, we had to reschedule him, so he'll be on our New Year's episode, which will be good. We're excited to have him, and check him. This is also in the future, but we were on his podcast for the first time, your favorite host of All Talk No Bock. We're on another podcast, so I don't know when that's coming out.
We weren't the host. We were the guests.
So check that out. Yeah, I know. So check that out on his channel. More information will be provided in our next podcast. I guess that's it. Yeah, check us out on Redbubble, all the social media. We are, if you would like to work for All Talk No Bock, apply on, you can find the link on our LinkedIn page. You can also go on Indeed. And we're applying, you could apply for staff writer, you could apply for content producer, And anything else, I'm sorry, Reese, fuck you. Don't include that. I'm completely lost. I had it and then I didn't have it because you just keep laughing and I can't do this. Okay. So that's it. Follow us on social media. Check out our articles. We will be having one next week and one the week after that for the holiday season. We're shortening, but then we'll be back to normal starting the first week of January and going on. And that's it. Thank you guys. Have a happy, happy Christmas. Safe Christmas. Do social distancing. Don't do things that you would regret later or that somebody else might suffer from. So have a safe Christmas and have a great Christmas. And we will see you the day after New Year's. Happy holidays, All Talk No Buck fans. We love you all. Happy holidays. A very merry holiday season.
Happy holidays.
Happy New Year. We love you so much. Ta-ta. Goodbye.
Goodbye.